Hello, everyone. Sandell Podcast number 28. Today, we're going to be going over delegates and delegations. They have arrived in the Sandbox DAO. I have read through everything that I possibly can on the subject to include videos to learn more about delegations, delegates, how they worked. We interviewed previously a delegation, Bulls on the Block, also Mocha CN. So I'm not going into this blind. However, the actual act of delegating, delegation, delegates, we'll get into that, the definitions and everything else that's going on. And special shout out to Mark, who is in the chat. We interviewed him for the Sandbox Ambassador Program, which was, what was that? That was SIP number 11, and that passed. So Mark said, just received half of the first month's fund last week. Bit busy doing preparation right now. Excellent. And if you don't know, the Sandbox Academy in the Philippines, which was SIP 12, is all about an education and going around different universities, teaching people, college students, about the Sandbox, Game Maker, Vox Edit, to teach them how to be involved as game makers and Vox editors for the community. So that's really awesome. And I'm wishing him all the success in the world. Check that out. Podcast, I think it was 18. So today, delegates and delegations. That's what we're going over. So the scope of the talk today, it's going to be a news update. It's also going to be a little bit of an opinion piece. I had opinions and thoughts as I read through the news of the delegate system having now starting to be implemented in the Sandbox DAO. A disclaimer, I do not represent the Sandbox Game or the Sandbox Foundation, which is the DAO. I am not your financial or legal advisor. Nothing I say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When I say the word SIP, I mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When I say the word DAO, I mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. SandFam is everyone in the Sandbox community, to include the gamers, the creators, the landowners, the token holders, and more, as I'll show you in a slide later. Delegation, the system that allows one voter to transfer their voting power to another. Delegate, those you transfer your voting power to. For the scoreboard, SIPs 14 and 15 are on the voting block. Please go vote. They both end in how many hours? 5 hours from now. Please go vote. One of them is mine, and I really want to resize my windows so that I can have some reasonable window management when I create in the Sandbox and I'm minting stuff and all sorts of things, or resolution options within the Vox Edit or the Game Maker, being able to resize things when I'm using Magic Palette, as Pepe mentioned earlier today in a tweet response. So please go vote. Vote SIP 15 and 14. 15 is the Metaverse and Disability Hiring Program. 14 is the window resizing and resolution options in the game client, Vox Edit, Launcher, and the Game Maker. So those two are up for voting, and they will be closing in about 5 hours. For the checkbook, we have spent of our 15.5 million sand, 2.3 million, which is 15% of the budget so far. DAO base, we are now up to 211,000 token holders, and we have about 2,200 voters within the DAO, 13 proposals so far, and as a collective, we have casted 9,207 votes for DAObase.ai. My name's Lanzer. I am the Sandell podcast host. I am a SandFam community member since 2021, and I'm president of MetaWorlds. We've published two experiences, Floor Droppers and how can I forget my own experiences? Floor Droppers and Lava Defense. So we did it for Builders Challenge and Game Maker Fund. And I'm a landowner, avatar owner. I'm a mocha. I'm an ape. I'm open campus. And two other things. But I'm most important is I'm a very passionate SandFam member, because the DAO to me represents the intersection of community, gaming, and business, and I love all three of those things. So something I'll be doing in a future podcast is the SandFam and the Sandbox ecosystem. Here's one slide I just did this past week toward that podcast, which is upcoming in the next few weeks probably. But what is the Sandbox? A little quick primer. It started in 2012 as a mobile game, and it transformed into a metaverse ecosystem since about 2018. And it switched from mobile to PC gaming. And it is a convergence of products, people, and purpose. That's what creates the Sandbox ecosystem. And I'll be going into depth a little bit more later on in another podcast. So the road to DAO. It's been a while since I've shown this slide, but I've been keeping it up to date just to keep track of everything that's been happening. The DAO was originally announced May 28th. And since then, it went through a number of SIP submissions and votes. And as of right now, we have 9 SIPs that have been approved, 13 have not been approved, and 1 has withdrawn. So that's 13 SIPs total that we have gone through since May 28th. And that's basically all of these things here. Lots of AMAs, lots of different spaces you can look at. NFC Lisbon with Seb and Cyril, the AMA between Mia Bao and Seb, Sand Cafe with a bunch of community members, and then fast forward to today's episode and September 10th, that's when the Sandbox DAO, Cyril from the DAO team, or Geraldine from the DAO team, opened up delegation applications. So we're going to be deep diving into that. So for the discussion, we're going to go through 5 things: the forum announcement, the application link, the interview by the DAO team, and the delegation dashboard, ended by a dive into the code of conduct. So, the forum post. So as I mentioned on, link it here. So on September 10th, Geraldine posted, "Become a delegate for the Sandbox DAO. Shape our future." And a nice post. It basically talks about what is a delegate, why become a delegate, how to apply. It gives a process for applying. And then some details about the FAQ and looking forward to applications. So that forum post, what is a delegate? It's a voter who votes on behalf of the community members that delegate voting power to them. Why become a delegate? And the 3 things that it goes into detail here, you can read a little bit more for yourself, is influence, recognition, and community. Then, how do you apply? There's an application process you go through, which we will go through in depth. There is a code of conduct that you must review. And then there is an interview process after that. So that's basically the forum post. And then later on, there's a little bit of back and forth and the community discussion between myself, Geraldine, KCL, Crypto Sheep, Takeout Sky, a number of community members. Make it clear if they're voting if they're applying or what their thoughts are. So one of the main parts of the post is the application link. And that application link follows, this will help go into a little later, but the application link here is basically what you see. What is your username on the Sandbox DAO discourse? So you would type your username. Then which country are you based in? You type in whatever country you're from. Question number three is, what is your ENS address? And it says, while an ENS address is not required to apply, it will be required to become a delegate and will be displayed on the dashboard of verified delegates. So ENS, if you don't know, is a website. And it basically gives you like usernames for a lot of crypto things. So for instance, you can have sandboxdao.eth. And when you type that into ETHscan, it will shortcut to a wallet. So here you can click in, let's do sandboxdao.eth. And then you can buy it just like you would buy a domain. But as you can see here, it's already registered to SandboxDAO. And Arisakio, which is the consulting company that Cyril is the founder of, and it expires in 2 years. And it's owned by this wallet. So what is your ENS address? We'll just put sandboxdao.eth. What ETH address will you be using to vote? If you have an ENS address, your ETH address should be linked to it. So this is where you put whatever your wallet is. Question five, what motivates you to pursue the role of a delegate and how do you envision contributing to the community in this capacity? This is where you would talk about why do you want to be a delegate? I want to be a delegate because I'm passionate about the community and want to increase voter participation. All right, next question. What are your Web3 interests? And here you can list off things that you're interested in. For instance, staking or land ownership or creating experiences in GameMaker or creating NFTs using VoxEdit. Whatever your interest is. Do you have any Web3 qualifications? Let's say you are a voxel editor or a game maker or a graphic designer or a podcast host or a previous delegate for XYZ DAO. Okay. Do you have any experience in voting or decision-making processes within decentralized organizations or blockchain communities? That's question number eight. You select yes or no. Question nine, list any relevant skills or expertise that makes you a suitable candidate for a delegate position within the Sandbox DAO. For example, blockchain knowledge, governance, leadership, communication, critical thinking. So here you could say, I have great critical thinking skills. Maybe. No. Definitely. Question 10. I am willing and able to participate in the governance of the upcoming DAO. I understand this is an ongoing role that requires active participation. You can select yes or no. Question 11. I understand that delegates are unpaid volunteers. Being a delegate does not qualify me for immediate payment in tokens. Select yes or no. I understand that becoming a delegate is a significant commitment. Select yes or no. And by the way, you can select no, and it will let you keep going. Question 13. Do you have any conflicts of interest that might affect your ability to serve as a delegate for Sandbox DAO? Pay special attention to this because it's very robustly defined in the code of conduct. And part of my analysis mainly centers around how all of those things are worded. So delegates must declare if they or someone with a close personal professional relationship is the author of a SIP. Additionally, they must disclose any relationships that could pose a potential or that could pose a conflict of interest in the decision-making process. So you'd select yes or no to that question. If you select no, Your next question will be, is there anything else you'd like us to know about your candidacy for the Sandbox DAO delegate? If you select yes, it will ask you, can you explain what is your conflict of interest? And you might say, I am a landowner. No. Here's one. I have submitted a SIP or plan to submit a SIP. That would be a conflict of interest per some of the rules that are described in the Code of Conduct, where, as you'll see in a question or two here, question 15, is there anything else you'd like us to know about your candidacy for the DAO delegate? I love the Sandbox and the Sandbox DAO. That would be my answer. So question number 16, I declare that that information provided is true and correct to the best of my knowledge. Select yes or no. 17, I agree to abide by the rules and code of conduct set for the delegates of the Sandbox DAO as a link to the code of conduct, which we'll go into more depth later. Select yes or no. Your X/Twitter link. So you put in, you know, twitter.com/ whatever it is your Twitter handle is. I guess you need www in front of that. No. Maybe you need HTTPS in front of it. There you go. And then you upload your avatar that you want displayed on the dashboard. Hit submit, and then you have officially applied to be a delegate. So, all in all, there are 19 questions. For you to answer. Yep, 19 questions for you to answer. And most of them center around resume items. You know, list your qualifications, list your skills. What have you done before in the Web3 world? Do you understand this is an unpaid volunteership position? Do you understand this is a significant commitment? That there are conflict, do you have any conflict of interest? That sort of thing. A lot of who, what, when, where, why questions. Okay, so once you submit your application, then you wait. You wait for the Sandbox DAO to email you or contact you saying, we want to interview you. And once that interview, oops, I forgot to finish the whole slide. But once that interview happens, as I was interviewed about a week ago, maybe a few days ago, the Sandbox DAO team, I got on a call with them, and then they asked me some reinforcing questions about who I am, what I'm wanting to do as a delegate, how do I want to exercise my delegate power, and why do I want to be a delegate? A lot of questions just to for them to get to know you a little bit better. And one thing that was of note is that the DAO team received many applications for delegations. For delegates. And it seemed like they received a lot more than they expected. So this might take quite some time for them to interview everyone. And a lot of people submitted applications who were previously unknown to the DAO, who might have been significant landowners, but have not really participated in the DAO forums. So there's going to be some time that's going to take for the DAO team to fully become aware and familiar with all of the DAO applicants so that they can then move them on to phase two, which is like a downward selection of the application pool into who will eventually be selected to be a delegate. All right, now once that happens, you'll be listed on the delegate dashboard if you are accepted. And the delegate dashboard right now is blank. Looks like this. It just says delegate dashboard and become a delegate. And then here, no verified delegates yet. But eventually when delegates are approved, they'll show up here. And below that are the delegation FAQs. Some of these things are pretty standard. Like, what does a delegation mean? What happens to my tokens when I delegate? Who can I choose as my delegate? Is there any impact to becoming a delegate? Are there any costs to delegating? such as on-chain gas fees? And the answer is yes to that. Is delegating my voting power compulsory? What's the criteria to be showcased on the Sandbox DAO delegates dashboard? How can I change my delegate? Can I override my delegate's vote? Yes, you can. Can I delegate to more than one wallet? Why am I unable to delegate? Do delegates receive any compensation? No, they don't. Can I update my delegate profile? Why was delegation not presented as a SIP? The answer to that was delegation was implemented as a necessary solution to improve participation and governance and implemented at the discretion of the administrator using the operation budget and to maximize speed to market, and it did not require a SIP for approval. So the DAO administrator decided that it didn't need to be a SIP. And if you have any questions, you can click here and go to the board where we'll eventually can lead you to the forum post that we showed earlier. So that's the delegate dashboard. Eventually you'll be able to delegate there via the big delegate button. You'll see the verified delegation or the delegate list, and then you can read the FAQs. So now we get into the meat of it, the code of conduct. So in the application, you saw the link to the code of conduct, and the question that it wanted to ask you was if you agree, yes or no, to abide by the rules and code of conduct set for the delegates of the Sandbox DAO. The code of conduct is separated into 8 sections. Section 1 is commitment to the network's best interest. Section 2 is active participation in governance. Section 3 is transparency and communication. Section 4 is civility and professionalism. Section 5 is conflict of interest. Section 6, anti-lobbying and influence protections. Section 7, adherence to the spirit of the code of conduct. Section 8, optional participation and accountability. So, here it is. It is not too long. There's quite a bit of depth to it, but it's not that long. So, what I did is I already went through it and noted some of the things that were interesting to me. So what we'll do is I'll scroll through. Some of it is pretty standard, but I'll scroll through and go to the sections that were most interesting to me. So, general code of conduct. It opens with, "In all interactions, each member of the Sandbox DAO should agree to and abide by the Sandbox DAO terms of use. Be respectful to other community members. There is a zero tolerance policy for any form of discrimination or hate speech." I think maybe this is just a language barrier because the DAO team is multilingual, but also mostly based in France. So my background, as I should have mentioned in my introduction as Lanzer, my professional background is in contract writing, proposal writing, and contract negotiation. So I have a professional expertise in the formulation of contracts and things that are, you know, how to enforce contracts, like the exchange of goods and services for money and inputting legal contract clauses that you can then enforce to ensure that what you pay for is what you get. And so I have that background and in interpreting a lot of this legalese. I'm not a lawyer, so I didn't pass the bar exam. I'm a contract writer and a contract negotiator, and I also have done quite a bit of proposal writing. So so I've been doing that for over 10 years at this point. So the use of the word should and shall, those things mean quite a bit, especially when you start talking about terms of use and codes of conduct. And so in the beginning here, it just starts off, each member of the Sandbox DAO should, and then it starts talking about should agree to and abide by the terms of use. But looking into the terms of use, it's not very optional. And then it says, there is a zero tolerance policy for any form of discrimination or hate speech. That's not something you would put under a should category. It's much more authoritative to say you will not do that. So the DAO members shouldn't, you know, have a zero tolerance policy or shouldn't decide whether or not they want to elect to be respectful of other community members, I'm quite sure the DAO team means that this is what you will do as someone who is abiding by the terms of use. And so that's a interesting thing to start off with. But it gets more interesting after that. So for the code of conduct, let's start with the very first part, which is down under code of conduct here. It talks about how each member of this DAO Special Council shall, I think they mean each member of the Sandbox DAO delegate. I don't think they mean special counsel there. I think it's just kind of a copy paste thing. So, I'm pretty sure they mean delegate. Shall commit to serving, adhere to the highest ethical standards, abide by the general community code of conduct. Again, that shall statement is pretty important up there at the top, and you'll see why later. Disclose any conflict of interest, maintain confidentiality in case of dispute, disagreement, strive for resolution, and maintain active and transparent communication with the DAO community. So those are fairly standard things to expect to read for something like a code of conduct. And the next section was delegates' code of conduct. And then it talks about how it values the principles of transparency, accountability, integrity in its governance process, and to ensure that delegates act in the best interest of the community and the ecosystem, we establish this delegate code of conduct. By opting into this code, delegates commit to upholding the highest standard of behavior and responsibility. So, section one, the commitment to the network's best interest under primary responsibility. So the very first thing I note up here is under the primary responsibility, delegates must prioritize the long-term success and development of the Sandbox ecosystem. Decisions should reflect the broader community's interest, aiming to enhance the sustainability, security, and growth of the platform. So the thing that I noted was that it said delegates must prioritize the long-term success and that decisions should reflect the broader community interests. And I'm not sure how familiar people are with delegations and delegates. Most delegates that I've seen in a few other DAOs that I've been keeping track of up until this point, like ApeCoin DAO, Maker DAO, Compound DAO, City DAO, which is no longer is no longer active, a few other DAOs, Mocha DAO now. Most delegates, they have a focus. They have a niche. So, for instance, Mocha CN, who we interviewed for, let's look at that. It was interviewed Mocha CN, old one from Mocha CN, episode 6. So check that out, Sandow Podcast, episode 6. They are the largest Mocha delegate within the Mochaverse. All right, and they also, old one, who is one of the co-founders of Mocha CN, he is also connected to the Sandbox through Lululand. So very well-known developer for the Sandbox is old one. But Mocha CN stands for Mocha Chinese Community. So where were we? Interview, code of conduct. Okay, so there we go. So Mocha CN is all about the Mochaverse Chinese community. So they're Chinese speakers and they are Chinese affiliated and associated and Chinese voters. They have things that are important to them. And as you heard in Sandow Podcast 6, we go into depth into what the Mocha CN community values. All right, so they're not necessarily inherently focusing on the broader community's interests. They are focused on Mocha CN's interests. That's why they're the Mocha CN delegate. So it's kind of interesting. It kind of brings up a sort of a conflict or a contradiction there that the delegates are supposed to be looking at the long-term success, which long-term success is very, very broadly defined. And it's not obvious why Mocha CN or Bulls on the Block or Mochaverse or ApeCoin DAO delegates should focus on the long-term success for the Sandbox DAO. Not really sure why they should do that. Some of them, I mean, what's wrong with a short-term success for the Mocassian? I'm not really sure. But that stuck out to me as being the delegates must prioritize long-term. What does that look like? What does it mean to prioritize it over the short-term success? Unclear, and the code of conduct doesn't really say. So the decisions should reflect the broader community interests. And as I mentioned, a lot of the delegates have a focus. So bulls on the block. They own a 6x6 from the Sandbox ecosystem, and they are very heavily focused on ApeCoin and within the Sandbox, they're focused on creatorship and what they call bulls, their members, are interested in. And we interviewed Bulls on the Block, episode 7. So right after we interviewed Mocassian in episode 6. So Bulls on the Block has already been applied to be a delegate. I am probably assume that Mocassian also applied to be a delegate already. Unsure as of yet, but we know Crypto Sheep from Mocassian definitely applied. So what does it mean for Bulls on the Block to must prioritize long-term success and reflect the broader community interests? Does broader mean outside of Bulls on the Block? That's what it kind of insinuates. And it's not really clear to me why that should be true or why that's reasonable to expect of a delegation who is there to represent the interests of their delegates. That's why they are delegated votes. So that's the very first thing I noticed under the primary responsibility. So moving on down the line, when we start talking about the good faith and the avoidance of excessive delegation. So for the avoidance of excessive delegation, I think I put here, under avoidance of excessive delegation, it says delegates are discouraged from encouraging excessive voting power delegation to avoid undue influence or manipulation of the governance process. I don't know what they mean by discouraged from encouraging excessive voting power delegation. That meaning is very unclear. What's an example of excessive voting power delegation? I'm not sure. I responded back into the DAO post. If the DAO team could explain a little bit what that means. So awaiting a response back from them. But in the meantime, it's unclear, and the code of conduct doesn't explain, neither does the FAQ. Okay, so the good faith thing, yep, that sounds fine. Section 2, active participation in governance. So the voting obligation is the next thing I noted. Delegates are expected to participate actively in the governance process by voting on all proposals and interacting with the community on the dedicated SIP threads. This ensures that the voting power entrusted to them is used effectively. So the words I mentioned there was participate actively. And this pairs with below where it says diligent review. Prior to voting, delegates must conduct a thorough, selfless, and unbiased review of each proposal, ensuring decisions are made with full understanding of the potential impacts. So the things I noted there was thorough in each proposal. So there's kind of like a dual thing going on here. Then it goes on to say under constructive feedback, delegates should provide feedback that is well-researched, supported by evidence, and devoid of personal attacks. And under rationale for votes, delegates must communicate reasoning behind their voting decisions. This is awesome. I am very happy to see this because as I'm watching things going on in ApeCoin DAO, let me start over. I'm going to start over. So with those four sections that I noted, participate actively, be thorough, review each proposal. Feedback should be well-researched and supported by evidence. Communicate your reasoning behind your voting decisions. This is a very, very interesting requirement, and I think it's going to benefit the DAO. I'm very happy to see this. When I was watching a podcast not long ago, it's called Down the Rabbit Hole podcast, and they were interviewing different DAO people. So people from Compound DAO and from other DAOs. And the Compound DAO representative said that 75% of all Compound delegates have never voted on an on-chain proposal. And that was fascinating for me to hear. And that goes very well in line with what Mia Bao said when she interviewed Seb, that after delegations are implemented, I think it was something of like there was an 80, 85% increase in voter participation after that. I forgot to put that here, but that was only done about a month ago. And I did a reaction video to that. And that was Sandel podcast number 20. A reaction. Oh, no, excuse me. Sandel podcast number. Where is it? 19. Reaction to the AMA with Mia Bao and Seb Bourget. So there. There was a really, really interesting. Mia Bao is the co-founder of DAObase, one of the slides I mentioned earlier that has a lot of analytics on over 160,000 DAOs, including ours, the Sandbox DAO. So Mia Bao interviewed Seb Bourget, who is the co-founder of the Sandbox, and in it she said after delegations, it was toward two-thirds of the way through, after delegations are implemented, there is a marked significant increase in voter participation. So the fact that the DAO code of conduct is requiring that delegates be more actively participative, that is awesome. I think that's going to highly benefit the DAO, and I commend them for having that in there. All right. Some other things that happening is if you're keeping track of what's going on in the ApeCoin DAO, Aaron Haber, who is he proposed the Laughing Ape AIP. I believe that one did pass. And so he's a background comedian. And also in APU, he recently launched a podcast called Delegate This. And he launched that due to the lack of delegate feedback that AIP authors were receiving. So in the AIP process, just like in the SIP process, you submit your AIP and it goes to vote, and then everyone votes on your proposal. Well, in ApeCoin DAO, there are hundreds of voters and very little voting feedback. Aaron speaks on this quite often, as do others within the ApeCoin DAO communication channels, and mentions that would really be cool if voters got more feedback so they can make their proposal stronger. Well, Aaron Haber came up with, in partnership with the ApeCoin Governance Working Group, to launch Delegate This, which fosters communication between the delegates and the voters and the AIP authors. So really, really cool. I've been following that pretty closely because that has direct implications on the Sandbox DAO, and it's a model, I think, for our community in SandFam. And so you can see that as the Sandbox, it struggled to meet quorum. And as a SIP author myself, where I have a SIP that's going to close in about 4 hours, we have not reached the 30 million quorum, and I've received some feedback, but not much. And that's mostly because I have sought out all the feedback from people in the SandFam. And most of them are really supportive, but ultimately we have not been able to garner the support of landowners to reach that 30 million quorum as of yet. So we're still contacting SIP authors, landowners to reach quorum as best we can. And us and MetaFutura, we're in the same SIP cohort. We're trying to get that done in the next few hours. So we're struggling just like everyone else, and we could also do with more feedback from authors. So the fact that this is part of the code of conduct from the outset, I think it's a great thing. Okay, let's keep going. Disclosure of conflicts. So this is where it really starts to get, where some of my critique really starts to come through. So under section 3, transparency and communication, where it starts talking about the rationale for votes, delegates, or we just went over that, delegates must communicate the reasoning. Under availability, delegates should be reasonably accessible. Under notification and termination, delegates intending to step down from their role must notify the community. Section 4, civility and professionalism. Under respectful conduct, delegates must foster a safe, welcoming, harassment-free environment. Under prohibited behaviors, unacceptable behaviors such as harassment and the like are not tolerated. And for constructive feedback, delegates should provide feedback that is well researched, supported by evidence. And that's the part I just gave them kudos on. So that was section 3 and section 4 of the code of conduct. Then we get to section 5, conflict of interest. And this is where I think some of the major loopholes start to really show themselves, or the contradictions where I think could be really improved in the language. So conflict of interest is broken down into three parts, as is section 6. They're very closely aligned. Section 5 has SIP authorships and relationships, where delegates must forfeit their ability to propose a SIP. Disclosure of conflicts says delegates must avoid conflicts of interest and declare if someone with a close personal or professional relationship is the author of an SIP or stands to gain personal benefit from their voting actions. Any actual or potential conflicts must be disclosed to the community promptly. The delegates are required to not vote on any proposal where a conflict of interest exists. Next section is transparency and conflicts. Even potential conflicts should be disclosed, ensuring that all governance activities are conducted without bias or personal gain influencing decisions. Delegates are also required to not vote on any proposal where a potential conflict of interest exists. All right, I'm going to go into section 6 because they're very similar. Anti-lobbying and influence protections. The first part of that section is lobbying disclosure. To protect the integrity of the decision-making process, delegates must disclose any lobbying efforts directed toward them that could influence their voting decisions. This includes any form of communication or pressure from external parties. Abstention in case of influence is the next part. If a delegate feels that lobbying or undue influence has compromised their impartiality, they are required to abstain from voting on the relevant proposal. And the final part is transparency and communications. All communications that may influence a delegate's vote should be logged and disclosed to the community. This ensures full transparency and reduces the risk of hidden lobbying efforts. So on the surface, this appears great. It's detailing protections for the community, things like undisclosed payments or behind-the-scenes efforts that aren't transparent, a lot of goodness. However, if you're thinking to yourself, there were quite a few contradictions, or this was really broadly worded so that massive loopholes could be exploited by people in positions of power, or it could be used as a weapon against the community, I think you're right. I think there are really, really broadly worded sentences in here that could be used aggressively by enforcers within the DAO team or the special counsel or anyone in a position of power against the community for many different reasons. And we'll go over one such scenario later on. So here are the highlights. So in section 5, under disclosure of conflicts, delegates are required to not vote on any proposal where a conflict of interest exists. This pairs nicely with in the transparency and conflict section where it says delegates are also required to not vote on any proposal where a potential conflict of interest exists. Those words are very important. So it's not only saying that you're required to not vote on any proposal where a conflict of interest definitely exists. You're also required to not vote on any proposal where a potential conflict of interest exists. And that is huge. And here's why. The ecosystem within the sandbox is very highly interconnected with many, many different businesses, DAOs, advocacy groups. Seb has done a wonderful job connecting, networking with the Web3 community. The sandbox is owned by Animoca Brands, one of the largest Web3 communities and companies on the planet, which itself has a DAO, which itself votes within the sandbox, and the sandbox votes in the Mochaverse DAO. And it votes in the ApeCoin DAO, and people in the ApeCoin DAO vote in the sandbox DAO and the Mochaverse DAO. This huge interconnectivity going on. So conflicts of interest exist all over the place already by default. Potential conflict of interest probably exists with almost everyone. That's strongly worded, but I'm pretty sure I'm not far off. Most people are involved in multiple delegations. Most people are involved in multiple communities. Most people know many other people who then themselves are going to be involved in the delegate system within the sandbox. It's all over the place. So my thought here was, if this is interpreted as the entire delegation cannot vote, we're going to need some major further discussion and refinement, because some of these delegations have thousands of members already. Whale Vault, for instance, it has over 1,000 lands, 7 million voting power within the sandbox right now. It has 15,000 members. Do you think Whale Vault has the ability to police or have full recognition of 15,000 people? Most people who delegate, as we're finding out with ApeCoin DAO, forget they delegate. They don't even know they delegated after a certain amount of time. And so it's very easy to lose track of your delegate, who you've delegated to. And that is just, that creates a perfect storm of people who unwittingly have a conflict of interest and don't know it. Both the voter and the delegate. Both the delegate and the delegatee and the delegation. The whole thing is just rife with, it's too easy to not see this from many points of view. The Mochaverse has over 1 million people, 1 million members. There is no way that you can reasonably expect the Mochaverse delegate to be able to know where a potential conflict of interest exists. 1 million people? That's unreasonable to expect. Bulls on the Block, let's just make it local. Bulls on the Block, a very active delegation, has over 100 members. They are constantly involved, and they're very well networked because they have put in the time and effort. Anthony and Crypto Sheep and the rest of the Bull Council and the Bear Council has put in a lot of effort to be involved in their communities. And ApeCoin, New Campus, Open Campus, Mochaverse, Sandbox, just their 100 members alone. Trying to police 100 members, 15,000 members, 1 million members. I think it needs more refinement on this big, huge, broad language that is so open to interpretation. It can be used on anyone by someone who's looking to, who has an axe to grind or who is resentful of someone else. It's just too easy to abuse this power. Whoever isn't using it to enforce the code of conduct on someone else. So my recommendation is limit it to just the delegation leaders. Just the council. So the Bulls on the Block Council, just they are 5 or 6 of them, right? It's much easier to police that. And it's much more reasonable to police that. For Mochaverse, the special council of the Mochaverse, whatever that may be. The Whale Vault, the special council of the Whale Vault. Or the leaders of the Whale Vault. There's, I think, 9 of them. Right? That's much more reasonable and much more in line with the intent and the spirit of this, where the people who wield the voting power should be the ones that you expect to police conflicts of interest between themselves and the people that they are voting on. Because they already have to, as we discovered in the previous section, they already have to thoroughly, selflessly, and unbiased review of every proposal. So they'll have done their own due diligence by that point. But you can't expect them to do the due diligence and the connections of a million people within their delegation and a SIP author. There's just too much anonymity for that to be reasonable. So my recommendation, limit this to just the delegation leaders, just the delegates, not the members. All right. So the next part, and here's where a contradiction really inserts itself. And I read it a little bit earlier up top. It started with each member of the sandbox DAO, it says special counsel. I'm pretty sure they meant sandbox DAO delegate shall. And it says commit, adhere, abide, maintain, all these sorts of things. So within section 5, disclosure of conflicts and transparency in conflicts, you start to see this dual contradiction emerge. Under disclosure of conflicts, it says any actual or potential conflicts must be disclosed. The key words there, actual or potential conflicts. Then in transparency in conflicts, it says even potential conflicts should be disclosed. That's a contradiction from what I'm reading. If you're saying that for the disclosure portion, any actual or potential conflicts must be disclosed, and then in transparency in conflicts, you're seeing even potential conflicts should be disclosed, don't use the word should, because you're saying on the one hand, potential conflicts should be disclosed, but you don't have to. But then elsewhere, you're saying conflicts, whether actual or potential, must be disclosed. You're sending mixed messages there. It's not good. It's just, you're creating a bad situation. So I recommend that you either change the word should to must, or take out the word potential conflicts from any actual or potential conflicts must be disclosed. So either potential conflicts should be disclosed all throughout the code of conduct, or they must be disclosed. Don't mix and match that language. All right, and then the second contradiction was under avoidance of excessive delegation. Oh, no, that's I already went over that one. That meaning was unclear, and I don't know what's an example of excessive voting power delegation. Okay. And so we get to part of my feedback, another contradiction. Under section 8, let's keep going. So we're past section 6. Now we're into section 7, which is adherence to the spirit of the code. So it then talks about how the code of conduct may not cover all possible scenarios. Delegates are expected to adhere to its spirit. They should refrain from exploiting any potential loopholes, acting in good faith, and the best interest of the community at all times. But the reverse is actually true. This thing is so broadly worded that people who are enforcing it can use loopholes to get after community members who might not deserve your scrutiny or punishment. And then section 8, that's where the next contradiction I find occurs. Optional participation and accountability. So the first part of that says opt-in commitment. Delegates may choose to opt into this code of conduct by indicating their agreement in the application form. By doing so, they signal their commitment to uphold these standards. The next section, ongoing feedback. The community is invited to provide feedback on this code of conduct. Strongly held views and constructive suggestions will be considered for incorporation into future versions of the document, ensuring it remains robust and fair. And the last portion, penalties for non-compliance. Delegates who fail to adhere to this code of conduct, particularly regarding the conflict of interest disclosures, that's why I said earlier it was so important to go through all that, may face penalties, including the loss of delegate status and the SIP being canceled. That is a double whammy of a penalty. Not only can the delegate lose their delegate status, but the SIP that is in question, that's associated with whatever mishaps occurred there, can be canceled. This is why I'm saying that the massive loopholes that we talked about the broad language, the over excessiveness of the way it's worded can be used against the community as a weapon. Because you're saying here at the very end, oh, by the way, you can lose your delegate status and we can cancel the SIB that's affected by this. It's that there's a pretty obvious abuse thing that emerges here. So here's the part that contradicts itself. Under 8, section 8, it says optional participation and accountability. So the keyword is optional, right? And then the first part of that section, the opt-in commitment, delegates may choose to opt into this code of conduct. And when I went through this code of conduct and when I saw the FAQ, read through the FAQ and the interviews, this didn't seem very optional. All right, the question 17 says, I agree to abide by the rules of the code of conduct. You can select yes or no. It will let you go forward if you select no. But how likely is someone selecting no really to have a shot at being approved by the DAO team? Does the DAO team intend to approve anyone who selects no? If not, then I'd say this is just a trap. It looks like a trap. If anyone selects no, and reasonably, if you were to read the code of conduct, it says optional. Delegates may choose to opt into this code of conduct, maybe not realizing that the DAO team makes a very, very strong recommendation that you need to select yes, or else you won't be approved as a delegate. So why even say that? Why say that they may choose to opt in? I mean, if you choose to opt out, then if it's automatically you're not going to be approved as a delegate, it doesn't mean anything. The opt-in doesn't mean anything. So that's the part where, you know, it says adhere in the FAQ, where what are the criteria to be showcased on the Sandbox DAO delegates dashboard? It says you must propose your candidacy, have voted on at least one of the last three SIPs, present your manifesto, which it means like your vision statement and all that stuff, like we went over in the interview application. And the most important part, adhere to the delegate guidelines and code of conduct. So this doesn't look like it's a choice at all. It doesn't look like you choose to opt in. Looks like you must opt in order to be approved as a delegate. So the way this makes it seem like it's optional is unfortunate. I recommend that you, if you don't mean it to be optional, don't write that word there. Don't write the word optional participation. Write mandatory participation. And for opt-in commitments, delegates must choose to opt in. That's my recommendation if you really mean it to be that you won't approve a delegation if they don't opt in. They don't choose to opt in. It's very contradictory language. So that's my recommendation. And let's get into the very last bit of this, which is the abuse scenario. So I mentioned a number of times that the broadly worded scenarios, the broadly worded language creates scenarios which can be exploited and used as a weapon against the community. And I did a little thought experiment to what that abuse scenario would look like. And here's something that jumped out at me as I was thinking about this. Because what I'm interested in is who benefits from this? Who wields the power? And it's obviously in favor of the DAO team wielding the power against the community if they choose to. If you hit someone who is really angry at a delegate, or if you have someone who secretly resents them, or if they have an axe to grind, or if just for whatever reason they want to make an example of someone, whatever. Here's a potential abuse scenario given the way the code of conduct is written and the FAQs are written right now. All right, so let's say you have Delegation X. Delegation X just got approved. They're listed on the Sandbox DAO dashboard. They have 1 million voting power and 1,000 members. Okay? Delegation X, not an unreasonable thing to start off with. Given that we know as part of DAO-based.ai, we have 2,000 voters and 211,000 token holders. So we of the 211,000, you roughly have, you know, 209,000 people who could delegate their power to someone else. So 1,000 of 211,000 isn't unreasonable. So you got Delegation X. They have 1,000 members with 1,000 voting power. They see the current SIP, SIP 15. SIP 15 is Metaverse and Disability, a New Work Frontier. If you have not voted, please go vote now on SIP 14 and 15. My SIP is SIP 14, which is Windows Resizing, and SIP 15 is Disability Hiring Program. All right, very, very worthwhile effort. Please go vote. So they see SIP 15, Delegation X, with 1,000 members, and they vote. They cast their vote. They say, yeah, this is a great thing. We're going to cast our vote for 100% of our voting power. All right. But then we discover member number 968 of those 1,000 members, who only has 50 sand delegated to Delegation X. So that's 50 voting power of the 1 million voting power that Delegation X has, was the author of SIP 15, and Delegation X missed it. They didn't see that one of their 1,000 members was the author. This is very easy to do, because maybe member 9068 actually has a second wallet that they're using, not to conceal their vote, but no, they're not participating much. They forgot that they delegated to Delegation X, and of the many, many delegations that exist, or delegates that exist, maybe 50 of them that are approved, just doesn't really realize it. I mean, they submit a SIP, and the Delegation X doesn't realize that one of their members is the author, and the member doesn't communicate with Delegation X. So neither of them realize that a potential conflict of interest exists here. And why would that be a potential conflict of interest? Because as we learned in the Code of Conduct, that in section 3, there we go. In section 5, under conflict of interest, delegate forfeits their ability to propose a SIP. And it later talks about how delegates are required to not vote if, and I confirmed this in an interview with the Sandbox DAO team when I interviewed for the delegate, if you're one of your delegation members is the author, that constitutes a conflict of interest. So they would be expected by the Code of Conduct to not vote. But it's so easy to not realize that a conflict of interest has been created here. So Delegation X has already voted, doesn't realize one of their members, one of the 1,000 members, is the SIP author. SIP author forgets to tell Delegation X, or just doesn't communicate with Delegation X, so Delegation X doesn't realize that. And boom, you have a conflict of interest. So let's say one eagle-eyed community member or someone within the DAO team realizes this, discovers this, and then through one reason or another, maybe they don't like Delegation X, or maybe they have something against the SIP author, or maybe they just want to make an example because they want to show the community that they really mean business when they say conflict of interest is very important for you to not run afoul of, which we learned toward the bottom, that it's very important for this to happen, for conflict of interest to be avoided, and the DAO values the principles of transparency, accountability, and integrity in its government processes, and really wants this to be enforced. So they decide that it's time to throw the book at Delegation X and the SIP author. So what do? They go to sections 5, 6, and 7, and they start listing all these things that are so broadly worded that it could apply to this scenario. Things like any actual or potential conflict must be disclosed. Uh-oh, Delegation X didn't disclose that in violation of Section 5. Any potential conflicts should be disclosed, ensuring that all governance activities are conducted without bias or personal gain. Uh-oh, Delegation Member Number 968 is part of Delegation X. Delegation X gains from this SIP author SIP passing. So another violation of Section 5. And also in Section 6 and the anti-lobbying efforts, this includes any form of communication or pressure from external parties, of which a SIP author would be. Also, communications that may be influencing the delegate's vote should be logged and disclosed. A failure to do that by Delegation X and the SIP author. Keep going in Section 7. While not all possible scenarios are covered by the Code of Conduct, you must adhere to the spirit of conflict of interest rules. So that just reinforces the external pressure or the potential conflict of interest or anything that might be construed as personal gain or bias, because definitely bias that one of your members of the DAO delegate, you would vote for a SIP author who you're a delegate to. So that's a bias. So there you go. In violation of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sections, 5 parts in the Code of Conduct. So what happens? Well, in Section 8, as I mentioned, it says you can lose your delegate status and your SIP can be canceled. So guess what happens after that? The DAO team member who wants to either make an example of, resents, or wants to seek revenge on the SIP author or the delegation, then cancels the SIP. SIP 14, which was all about hiring disabled people into the Sandbox DAO and has connections with European Parliament and the disability strategy, a massive amount of opportunity there for goodness to happen. One of the Sandbox budgets is Sandbox Good. Gets it, SIP. The SIP is canceled. And what happens to the delegation? They get banned. Their delegation status is revoked. And goodbye, delegation. 1,000 members, 1 million voting power, all of the power, all of the good that the delegation may have done doesn't matter anymore. They're done. So that right there is just one abuse scenario that can occur with the broadly worded language of the Code of Conduct. So I already gave my recommendations for how to reword some of that, and I'll go over that one more time just to kind of wrap this up. So for in the Code of Conduct, where it talks about the primary responsibility of delegates must be to prioritize the long-term success, and delegates should reflect the broader community interests, that's too vague for the most delegates who have a focus or a niche. I don't think you should be saying reflect the broader community interests. And I don't think you should be saying you must prioritize the long-term success. Because as I've seen within my own dealings with the DAO team, the long-term success could mean that they don't want another podcast to be funded by the DAO because they themselves want to publish their own podcast. So suddenly that's no longer in the interest of the long-term success of the DAO to have a competing podcast. So that could really put a few delegates in a bind. So I don't think you should be, I recommend striking those words. The next part, I gave kudos to the sections below where it talks about voting obligations, being diligent in your review, providing constructive feedback. That was great. I don't have any recommendations there. I think that solves a very well-known problem within the DAO and voter participation. But contradictions start to emerge in the disclosure portions and the conflict of interest portions, which are sections 5 and 6, where delegates are required to not vote on any proposal where a conflict of interest exists. That by itself is great. But then you pair that with delegates are also required to not vote on anything where a potential conflict of interest exists. That is too broadly worded. It basically means any member of a delegate. And as we mentioned, some of these delegates already have over 15,000 members. One of them has over 1 million members. And then more realistic, most of them have over 50 or over 100. So it's not reasonable to expect the delegate, which may be one or a small delegate of 9, to police over 15,000 members. So my recommendation is limit it to just the delegation leaders, where potential conflict of interest may exist and a conflict of interest may exist. There is middle ground there to be found, but my recommendation is way too overburdening to, especially for an unpaid volunteership role, for an unpaid volunteer to police 1 million members. No. And then the contradiction that emerges with the avoid the excessive delegation, which is in section 1, where it says delegates are discouraged from encouraging excessive voting power delegation. I don't know what this means. Please provide an example of that, because that I don't know what excessive voting power delegation means. Could mean anything. It's an unknown. The next thing was the contradiction later on in section 8, where it talks about optional participation, where a delegate may choose to opt into this code of conduct as if you would be approved to be a delegate if you didn't opt in to this code of conduct. And everything about this code of conduct, the FAQ, the application process, the interview, makes it seem like you must opt in. So please make it clear. Is it really a choice? Because if it's a choice to opt in, but you're automatically denied delegation, then it's not really a choice. You might as well just say it's mandatory to be a delegate. So please make it clear which way it is. And those are the biggest loopholes, I think, the biggest broadly worded things that need to be shored up. Because as we mentioned, that abuse scenario, it's too lopsided toward the DAO team, the special counsel, and people who wield power and authority within the DAO to use it against the community. And the community has very, very little recourse, because this DAO is still very centralized, and it's very difficult to get your SIP through the process if the DAO team denies you. You don't really have a recourse, and so, I mean, what? Let's just say all this happens, right? Delegation X gets banned, and the SIP voter gets canceled. The SIP voter then has to wait 30 or 60 days to per the Constitution, 30 or 60 days to resubmit. It then has to go back through the SIP process, where it goes through the same DAO team, one of which just improperly used their power to ban the delegation of 1,000 members and cancel the SIP of a SIP author. So now that same person is re-reviewing the SIP that gets resubmitted. And because we don't really get to see into too much what that process looks like, unless you submitted, you get to see the back and forth between yourself and the DAO team. But it's very, very behind the scenes. And it's rife with people just denying and delaying your SIP to where you have no way to balance that power. So it's just there's too much abuse that can be introduced into that scenario, and it's not good. So please, DAO team, special counsel, consider how broadly worded the code of conduct is and the recommendations that I gave. I'm going to be putting this also into the forum post. I'll be summarizing my thoughts there. And yeah, those are my thoughts. Overall, I'm super happy that delegation is here, if I didn't make that clear in the beginning. But that was my review of the form announcement, the application link, the interview by the DAO team, the delegation dashboard, and the code of conduct. And I'm super happy to see delegations arrive. I think they're going to greatly increase voter participation, as is evidenced by Compound DAO's research and Mia Bao's research with DAObase, that it could, you know, upwards of 80% of those 211,000 voters, or maybe it was 80% increase of the 2,000 voters right now that are participating. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. So let's go ahead and move on through to the rest of this. Future episodes. We have an episode coming up this Thursday, so a couple days from now. It is DAO Identity with Win Airdrop from Tech Talk Podcast. He has a background in Web3 identity, and we want to connect that. I want to connect that with the Sandbox DAO and how we approach identity within our SandFam community. I'm trying very, very hard to lock in the interview with Touche. We just need to confirm the date, and then we should be good to go on that. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be doing a SandFam and Sandbox ecosystem where I kind of showed the what is the Sandbox slide here. I have a much deeper slide deck on this, explaining the ecosystem, how they all relate to each other, and I'm super excited about that. I think I'm about 80% done with it, so you'll see that coming up. Okay, Sandbox Spaces. So if you're wanting to connect to the Sandbox DAO, or the Sandbox and the SandFam, as we call ourselves, and the Discord, go to the Sandbox Game Discord. There is a channel called DAO Discussion. You can also go to the Sandbox DAO Forums, where you can talk with SIP authors, input on SIP ideas, and different governance posts that are being made about the Sandbox DAO. On Twitter, look at hashtag SandFam, hashtag the Sandbox DAO, one word, and hashtag the Sandbox Game, all one word. No spaces. And you can also follow at thesandboxdao.com. I'm sorry, and at the Sandbox DAO. And for Sandbox Spaces throughout the week, on Mondays, there is Mochaverse Hall. On Saturdays, there's Bulls on the Block. Monday through Friday, there is Coffee with Captain. Whale Members does Natively Digital on Tuesdays. And SandFan Cafe does things periodically, monthly, with different SandFam members. This is where a lot of SandFam are congregating, are discussing, and in addition to the forums, Twitter, and Discord. So get connected and yeah, vote. Please vote. I need you to vote. We only have 2,000 voters. And right now, our proposals are in need of more participation. So SIP 14, which is my SIP right now, has a 55% yes vote, 26% abstain vote, only 17% no vote, but only 6.5 of 30 million quorum. That's 21%. Really, really need voters. And then SIP 15, which is MetaFutura's Metaverse and Disability Hiring Program, is in the same boat as I am. 49% yes, 27% no, 22% abstain, but only 21% of the 30 million quorum obtained. So as we interviewed them not long ago, it was really surprising to hear they have really deeply thought about this and making sure that they hire disabled individuals, so that's deaf, blind, or physically impaired, and give them a way to learn the skills to be SanFam community members, creators in VoxEdit, and game makers within the experiences. And a very, very well thought out proposal. So please go vote. Go vote. We need your participation. And with that, we will conclude. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being in the SanFam. My name is Lanzer, at sign Mr. Lanzer, and at sign Meta Worlds Meta. Please like, follow, and subscribe to Sandbox Style Podcast. And thank you all for your time. Have a great day.